This morning, I would like to take a short break from our current series on the ascension of Christ and the implications that it has for both saint and the sinner. And I want to bring forth a biblical response. This is my title, a biblical response to the COVID-19 pandemic situation going on right now, not only in our city, our state, our country, but in other countries across the world where this particular virus has taken a very deadly toll, as well as bringing much fear, suspicion, and anxiety amongst people who just 7 or 8 months ago sat down at a Thanksgiving dinner with no masks, no social distancing, enjoyed the Christmas holidays with friends and family, without masks, without social distancing, without having their jobs taken away from them because their business was forced to shut down because of a nationwide lockdown that was imposed upon us by either local or federal officials. Is there a biblical response to all of the madness that we see going around here today? And I believe there is. And so, knowing that the experts can get things wrong, we're going to go to the Bible and see what God, who is the final expert, has said. When it comes to experts, we got to realize that our experts today have normally got a whole lot of things wrong down through time. And even during this present 8 months of this pandemic crisis, we have seen our experts and the scholars and the medical officials and our elected officials walk over their tongue, talk out of both sides of their lips, impose mandates and then change those mandates, giving us a little bit of freedom, and then they yank the rope back and put us back under more restrictions. Well, beloved, experts are known to be wrong. For instance, at one time, experts told us that in order to cure a patient with whatever miasma that he or she may have had, we got to bleed them. And yet the Bible says the life of the body is in the blood thereof. When these so-called quack doctors were taking a scalpel and cutting into someone's flesh and draining the life-giving, life-supporting blood out of their bodies, they wondered why their patients eventually would die. And yet they didn't read their Bibles. Beloved, we went for centuries, before I believe it was a woman who had to slap the medical community across their face and remind them that if you wash your hands over running water, you will have less patients come down with gangrene and less patients you be putting in the ground. And I believe that was something that was finally realized, I think, in the 19th century. And yet when we study in this mini-series, you're going to find a reference to washing oneself in running water, not stagnant water, but in running water. The experts told us for many a time that the earth was the center of the solar system and the sun and the planets revolved around the earth. That's what the experts taught for quite a while. Here's a more recent one. 1974 was the first official observance of Earth Day, whereby we stop one day out of the year to give Gaia, or Mother Nature, or Mother Earth, her supposed worship. And on the front cover of Time magazine in 1974, on the very first Earth Day, guess what the front page article, the main article of that particular publication for that one day was? That the Earth was moving towards an upcoming ice age. We would all turn to popsicles, polar bears would migrate south into the United States, and the penguins would head north with the advancing glaciers. Well, here it is, 2020, and now they're telling us we got less than 10 years to live before we all become a French fry, or before the polar caps all melt and all the coastal cities that are all on the east and west coast, and those that are at sea level are going to eventually be inundated by lots of seawater, anywhere from 5, 10, or 20 feet above their present level today. You know what's so funny about that? I wish I could share this on my Facebook, but I can't, because the gentleman that was actually asked the question, when he gave the answer, used a whole lot of four-letter words. And so I could not lift this and share this with you all. But let me give you the gist of what he said. A lady stood up, Great Britain, the British accent, and she was concerned about her children not drowning because of polar ice cap melting. And this man just went off on her. And the moderator let this guy loose, but he used a lot of vulgarity. But there was one point that he made. If the experts are true about polar caps melting, then why are banks providing multi-million dollar bank loans to people to build beach shore property to include the Obamas up in New England? Why would a bank give multi-million dollar loans for people who have the ability and have the means to build beachfront properties up and down the East Coast and along the coast of Florida, along the coast of Cape Cod, along the coast of Maine, and along the coast of our Gulf, the Gulf of Mexico states? Why would they make those loans knowing that in less than 10 years, all these homes would be underwater? And he made the audience stop and think. Back in February and March of this year, when the COVID-19 China virus began to become more in the news, we saw our own Surgeon General of the United States, an African black gentleman who has risen to that status as the Surgeon General of the entire nation, go on the news pontificating the non-use of wearing a mask. Fauci, Dr. Fauci, in the late winter, early spring of this year, when this COVID-19 was becoming more of an issue, himself stressed vehemently no need to wear masks. And now, everywhere you go, everyone you see look like little mini bank robbers walking around town with half their face covered, either in a cloth or in a rag or in a mask. And now they want us now to wear shields, goggles. Pretty soon they're going to have us in astronaut suits. So with all of that going around, and then the negative effects, this thought just crossed my mind. I'm going to post this on my Facebook account. What has COVID-19 done for our country? And I've come up with one short answer. It has destroyed our humanity. It has killed our humanity. It has taken away the part that God has created within us as a social being, a social creature. Adam was not left in the garden alone. God made him a wife. He made him a woman. And when it comes to a church family, it's not just simply a pastor preaching to an empty building, but it's a pastor preaching to a congregation that has left their home and reassembled in another geographical location as a church family, as an assembly, as a congregation of like-minded brothers and sisters living with mutual love and forbearance one for another, able to hug one another, able to embrace one another, able to hold hands and pray together and partake of the Lord's Supper without the use of masks and gowns and goggles and shields. COVID-19 Whether you believe it escaped out of a laboratory or whether you're a conspiracy theorist whereby you think this was unleashed in order to destroy the economy and to destroy this country or to destroy Trump's bid for a second re-election, whatever position that you take, this illness, this virus, and the way our leaders have responded to it has neutered our humanity. It has caused people to become more fearful one with another, more suspicious one from another. And beloved, that's not what God has ever intended. Fear and superstition, beloved, is of the devil. Confusion is of the devil. Lord God Almighty is a God of law and order and structure and peace and harmony and goodness. COVID-19, beloved, has turned people into snitches. It has turned people into little Gestapo specialists going around screaming and yelling at people because they don't have a mask on or they're not 6 feet or six or more feet away from the nearest person. It has transformed our society into something that is grotesque and unhealthy, spiritually, morally, and psychologically. And so I want to give a biblical response to COVID-19. And we're going to look into the book of Leviticus. We're going to spend time in chapters 13, 14, and 15 on how God told the Israelites of old how to deal with a contagious, infectious illness. What steps were to be taken? Who was to take these steps? Who was to make the diagnosis? How long, if at all, quarantine was to last. And then when this person was totally cured, what next? What do you do with them? We're even going to consider the fact of what happens when a house, when the walls to a house down along the foundation comes up with mildew and mold. What was God's remedy for that? And if this disease came back once again in the four walls of the home, what was to be done next? You might be surprised. We're going to be discovering again, washing oneself over running water, not stagnant water. Even the burning of clothes in order to rid the community of the illness. So hopefully I prepared your heart and minds on where we're going to go. Well, turn with me first to Deuteronomy chapter 4 as my text. Now, this morning, there's going to be some introduction. There's going to be some preliminary reading that I'm going to make. And then we're going to dive into chapters 13 to 15 in the upcoming weeks. But I think we need to give a biblical response. Deuteronomy chapter 24, verses 8 to 9 as my text. Take heed in the plague of leprosy, that thou observe diligently and do according to all that the priests, the Levites, shall teach you, as I command them, so ye shall observe to do. Remember what the Lord thy God did unto Miriam, by the way, after that ye were come forth out of Egypt. So notice, first off, verses 8 is instruction. But notice verse 9 is a reference to a point in Israel's history. Notice the word, remember. Now, in the days when Jesus walked this planet, when he was giving some lessons, what did he say on one occasion? Remember Lot's wife. Another point back to a point in Israel or in the days of old as far as a biblical historical event. Here, fresh in the minds of this new generation of Israelites, this second generation born during the 39-40 years of wandering, they're about to go into the land. And what does Moses tell them? Take heed. Verse 8. So notice these instructions. Number 1, take heed in the plague of leprosy. So yes, beloved, we should not lightly blow off the COVID-19 virus. We should not minimize it. If it's real, and if it has effects upon the human body, if there are true bona fide symptoms that we can identify, if there's a test to find out whether you have it or don't, whether you're a carrier or whether you have bona fide symptoms, fine. And then let the medical community do what they would normally do in treating such an individual and getting them back on their feet. So we are to take heed. Now, whether it's N1, H1, whether it's the SARS virus, whether it's avian flu, whether it's swine flu, whether it's the seasonal flu, or whether it's the common cold, we need to always take heed. When someone comes down with some type of illness, take them to the proper medical authorities to have a physical, run whatever blood tests or x-rays that are needed. Let's put our finger on something. Let's kind of find something and put a name to it, and then administer whatever treatment. So God here is not telling us to simply close our eyes and say COVID-19 is not here. We are to take heed. Secondly, that thou observe diligently. So the further instructions are to be done diligently. They are not to be done haphazardly when it comes to this particular illness. And I have more to say about this illness. And do according to all that the priest, the Levite, shall teach you. So there's to be a teaching ministry on the part of these Levitical priests when it came to God's people, even in the realm of physical illness or physical malady. And as I mentioned just a few moments ago before we put the tape on here, that it seems that these Levitical priests had more than just spiritual duties there in the tabernacle, and then eventually it went into the temple. It would also seem by this that these Levitical priests must have had some basic medical understanding wrapped around their belt. Now stop and think. In most pagan cultures, everyone had a medicine man. What was also uniquely attached to the medicine man in these pagan societies and cultures? The medicine man was normally the spiritual leader of the tribe. He wore two hats. He was the one that would supplicate whatever deity or deities or gods that they worship. But then when he wasn't in the worshiping mode, he was in his hut or in his teepee or in his tent making herbal remedies for the people, and going through whatever rigmarole in his mind. Women would go to him if they were unable to conceive a child. They would go to him for some potion to drink or to smear on their body in hopes of conceiving. So, beloved, it makes sense that in the pagan worlds, in the pagan cultures, you had the medicine man and the spiritual man, or the priest of the village or the tribe, was normally one and the same person. And what do you find here? You find the Levites responsible for performing sacrifice, making atonement on behalf of the people, fine. But apparently they had some type of medical knowledge. Because if someone came down with leprosy, as we shall see in this series, they went to the priests. There wasn't a doctor. They didn't have a medical book to ask 5,000 questions and to be led through all the charts to find out what to do. Read on. Whatever the priest tells you, as I command them, so ye shall observe to do. Now, how many today take their doctor's advice? You got a heart patient, and that doctor tells him or her to lay off the smokes, lay off the booze, and start walking. How many of those heart patients really follow what their doctor tells them? And then when they're being wheeled down the hall to have a major heart surgery, versus blaming the doctor, maybe they should look in the mirror and blame themselves because they didn't follow the advice of their doctor to lay off the smokes and lay off the booze and get out there and maybe do a half hour walk every other day for your very health's sake. Now, I need to read some information that's pertinent, and I'm not going to put words in another person's mouth. So I downloaded some information about leprosy. And beloved, the leprosy that's taught in the Bible or referred to in the Bible was not always the traditional leprosy that you would see on movies. The leprosy that is referred to in the Bible was actually a skin disease. Yes, it was. And it had some very nasty ramifications if it was not treated. But just listen to this, please. Also known as Hansen's disease, leprosy is a skin infection caused by a microbacterium. And I said that without stuttering. Leprosy was at one time incurable, and lepers were segregated into colonies. Today, the infection is readily cured. It's just a matter of reaching victims of the disease and fighting the social taboos surrounding it. Leprosy is rare in the West, yet widely known through biblical references. Biblical references to leprosy, however, are to a wide array of skin diseases, few if any of which are Hansen's disease. So you get something called Hansen's disease, leprosy, bona fide leprosy. And the other references apparently in the Bible, which is translated simply leprosy, touches an array of physical skin diseases that were very infectious and very contagious and that could spread. Because of ancient references going all the way back to 1350 BC in Egypt, leprosy is sometimes referred to as the oldest recorded disease or the oldest known disease. In one form or another, leprosy appears to have stalked human beings for millennia, always causing those who suffer from it to be ostracized from their communities and encouraging the belief that sufferers are being punished by the gods. Now, I saw that when I was stationed in South Korea on two occasions. In the South Korean culture, in that mindset, if you were born with a physical defect, you are automatically viewed as being punished by something, either by God himself, or if you were not a Christian, whatever deities or entities that you believe are out there, they somehow got back at you, even in your mother's womb, and you were born with these birth defects. And such people, a lot of people kept like a 6-foot distance, and they were made to feel not welcome in their community or in their neighborhood. I saw that. In the Old Testament of the Bible, leprosy is frequently referred to as an ailment afflicting not just humans, but also horses and fabric. As we shall see when we do our study, God even makes a reference to one's clothing if the illness can be identified by the priests in the clothing, and thus the clothing was to be washed in running water or burned. Reference to leprosy obviously aren't to what is known as leprosy today, but a variety of skin disorders as well as some type of mold or mildew which might affect objects. And that's when we get to the house. Mildew and mold forming along the foundation wall where the floor and the walls met, along the baseboard, if you will, that would crop up. And there was a procedure to handle all of that. Fumigating the home, closing off the house for a period of time, and then allowing the priest to go back into the house to make his assessment and to reach a diagnosis. Now, beloved, stop and think. If you were a Levite priest and you were born into one of those families that composed the Levitical tribe, can you imagine being told by your father as you got older, not only are you going to be responsible for slaying the sacrifices and preparing the frankincense according to God's dictate, keeping the showbread, lighting the candlestick, you're going to go in someone's home to find out whether or not the weevils that are on the wall, whether it's safe to get back in. You ever think these priests would start thinking, I'm going to be exposing myself as well? You ever stop and think about the poor priest? who had to come in contact with the leper. And again, we're going to use leprosy or the word leper as a general term for an infectious skin disease. Can you imagine the priest had to come in contact? And guess what? You will not find that priest told to wear anything across his face. No rag, no mask, no shield, no goggles, no spacesuit. The priest just simply was there in his priestly garments, in the raw, in the flesh, ministering to someone who had an infectious skin disease. Wow. Can you imagine being told that as a young child? That is what you're going to do when you get older. Keys to understanding leprosy in the Old Testament is that it seems as a form of a physical or a spiritual pollution which requires one to be excluded from the community. Leprosy in the New Testament is frequently the object of Jesus' healing miracles. He came into contact with those with leprosy on several occasions, as they're recorded in the four Gospels. Numerous people who are afflicted with leprosy are cured by Jesus, who at times may also forgive their sins. According to Matthew and Luke, Jesus also authorizes his disciples to go forth two by two and heal lepers in his name. And we don't find the 12 apostles going out two by two with masks, goggles, gloves, gowns, or spacesuits. Few animals other than humans can catch leprosy, and the means of transmission is unknown. The microbacterium, which causes leprosy, replicates very slowly because of its very specific needs. So this is a wise little critter that goes about within the body. This leads to a slowly developing disease, but also prevents researchers from creating cultures in the lab. The body's attempt to fight the infection leads to extensive, listen to this, tissue destruction and thus mutilation, which gives the appearance of rotting skin. Wow. In addition to pain and disfiguration, biblical leprosy and Hansen's disease are both dreaded, and people were shunned because of them. The noun in the Hebrew, tarasheth, appears only 2,000 times in the Hebrew text. As previously mentioned, biblical leprosy is a broader term than the leprosy, that is Hansen's disease, that we know today. The Hebrew tarash included a variety of ailments, and is most frequently seen in Leviticus, where it's referred primarily to uncleanness or imperfections according to biblical standards. And that's where we're going to go in Leviticus 13 to 15. A person with any scaly skin blemish was tarash. The symbolism extended to rot or blemish on leather, the walls of a house, woven clothes. Other Old Testament references to leprosy are associated with punishment or to the consequences of sin. The Bible also takes this particular physical ailment and brings it over into a spiritual connotation. The one who was outside of Christ, the one who was still in Adam, the unbeliever, if you will, the one who lives his life as if God is dead, the one who lives his life as if the law of God is irrelevant, the one who lives his life as if the Bible and the church are antiquated, outdated, and no longer needed. Such a one, in the eyes of God, is considered a spiritual leper. He or she is considered unclean. He or she is considered contaminated by sin. Not a germ, but by a sin. So a person can be totally healthy, have no signs and no evidences of leprosy, but in God's eyes, they are spiritually unclean, and thus God diagnoses them as a spiritual leper, and thus they need to go to the high priest of all sinners, Jesus Christ himself, for the cure, and that cure is called forgiveness of sin and salvation. Others have suggested that the translation of this Hebrew word, tashrath, hopefully I'm pronouncing it correctly, includes molds, mildew and mold. The recent discovery of a highly toxic mold, which contaminates buildings and causes respiratory distress, memory loss, and rash, lends support to the translation of tarash to include mold. A noted tarash incorporates a collection of contemporary terms, including Hansen's disease, infectious skin disease, and mold or mildew disease. So you can see that in the Bible, this term leprosy is a very broad term that touches numerous types of medical infections or medical diseases that were quite common in that part of the world and could infect someone. Leprosy has terrified humanity since ancient times. It's a powerful symbol, again, reminding us of sin's spread and sin's horrible consequences. Reference to leprosy have a different emphasis in the New Testament. They stress God's desire to heal. Jesus freely touched people with leprosy, and we saw that in our call to worship when we read Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, I believe. Was it Mark's chapter 1? Mark chapter 1, 35 to 45. If you have a chance, you may want to read that portion of Mark's Gospel. That was our call to instruction, where Jesus literally touched the leper and cured the leper immediately. While people with leprosy traditionally suffered banishment from family and neighbors, Jesus broke from tradition. He treated lepers with compassion, even touching them, and thus healing them. Although we can't know all the reasons that God allows such a disease into our lives, what about breast cancer? What about heart disease? What about Crohn's disease? Leukemia? Beloved, we live in a sin-cursed world. When our first parents shoved a fist in God's face in Genesis chapter 3 and believed the lie of the first textual critic and doubted what God said and what God meant, and they ate of the forbidden fruit, they brought sin first upon themselves, and they brought sin upon the entire creation order, and then they brought sin upon us. These diseases, beloved, are the results of the consequences of sin, like a cancer eating away at the very heart and soul of humanity. Like leprosy, sin starts out small. That's so unique about these illnesses. Just a little spot of mildew, just a little spot of mold, just a little skin blemish, as we will read. Certain colors, whether it's deep in the skin or whether it's on the surface, starts off small, but then it spreads, leading to other sins and causes great damage to our relationships with God Himself, first and foremost, and with our neighbor. As I conclude, studying leprosy helps us to see why pain is a valuable gift, a survival mechanism to warn us of danger in this cursed world. Without pain and suffering, we might be like lepers, unable to recognize that something is terribly wrong and that we need the healing touch of God. As Dr. Brad said, quote, "I cannot think of a greater gift than I could give my leper patients than pain." Beloved, one thing about these infectious skin diseases, they begin to affect the nerve endings in your skin, whereby you have no sense of feeling, and above all, get this, in that last quote, no sense of pain. Diabetics with neuropathy, they lose the sense of feeling in their feet. They walk barefoot. Piece of glass on the floor, or in the street, or in the grass. Their foot is sliced by the glass. They don't feel nothing. So they go around with this bleeding. It gets infected. They feel no pain, unless they actually look at their foot and notice the blueness and the pus oozing out of that sliced foot. And if the infection spreads, it becomes gangrenous. And the only cure to prevent that gangrene from spreading up into the legs and into other parts of the body is to amputate the infected part. So when it comes to leprosy, pain is your savior. When it comes to being saved, for some people, pain drives them to Christ. See the connection? Without pain, you don't see no need to go to a doctor. Without feeling the pain and the consequences of our sinful nature and our sinfulness before God, then there is no movement to God. There's no movement to Christ, who is the great physician for sinners. Isn't that beautiful? So let us not be too quick to remove pain in our lives, whether physical, emotional, social, or spiritual. It may be God's megaphone to get our attention that something is seriously wrong and that we should flee to the one who created us. Wow. Wow. So, are you ready? Are you ready to take a journey in a biblical response to COVID-19? I'm glad you are. Let's begin. Leviticus 13. Leviticus 13. What your pastor's going to do, he's going to read line by line, verse by verse, with exposition. And in this other King James Bible that my wife got me about a year or so ago before our local Bible bookstore closed down, I underline in red ink on a fine point pen where we're going to go in chapters 14 and 15. Chapter 13, I have notes. I'll be preaching out of this particular King James Bible because I've underlined certain words, and those words will be brought to your undivided attention, as they will also in chapter 13. Beginning with verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, now chapters 13, 14, and 15 is one complete chunk of information touching infectious diseases. When a man shall have a skin in the skin of his flesh arising, a scab or bright spot, and it be in the skin of his flesh like the plague of leprosy, and again we're talking of a broad range of different microbacteria skin diseases, then he should be brought unto Aaron the priest, or unto one of his sons, the priests. And the priest shall look on the plague in the skin of his flesh. And when the hair in the plague is turned white, so whatever color this guy's hair is naturally, red, blonde, brown, black, if the hair inside this infectious spot is white, and the plague in sight is deeper than the skin of his flesh, where the scab or whatever is on the skin looks as though it's not on the surface, but it's under the skin. It is a plague of leprosy, and the priest shall look on him and pronounce him unclean or contagious. Or, you're sick, buddy. If the bright spot be white in the skin of his flesh, and in sight be not deeper than the skin, and the hair thereof be not turned white, then the priest shall shut him up that hath the plague 7 days. You may want to underline the quarantine. Here we find biblical justification for quarantine, or for isolating this infectious person with this illness. So when it comes to COVID-19, and I don't care what infectious disease it may be, Ebola, swine flu, SARS, even the common cold, if you're sick, stay home. Don't go to work and don't go to the bar and don't go on a picnic with a bunch of people. If you know that you're sick and you're running a fever and your nose is running so fast you can't catch it, you got blurry eyes, sunlight simply bothers you, you got a headache and you're burning with a fever, then why in the world do you get out of your bed and go shopping? Why do you go to the movie house? Why do you even go to work? Why do you go to the family reunion? If you're that sick, common sense dictates you stay home. And one of the problems right now with the COVID-19 is we got some real stupid people in this country who have come down with this illness. They got all the symptoms, high fever, loss of breath, can't breathe, they need a respirator. And these guys want to go out to the beach and have a good time. They're idiots. So here's one application from the pulpit. If you know that you're sick with some type of infectious disease, irregardless of COVID-19, it could be a common cold or the seasonal flu. Keep your body home. Stay home. And by you staying home, you're going to cause a whole lot of other people who are healthy, wealthy, and wise to remain in that condition while you recuperate. Notice the criteria for pronouncing someone unclean was by the priest. Did you notice that? It was either going to be who? Moses, Aaron, or one of the sons of Aaron, the priest. So they were the attending physician. So another application is, if you know that you're sick, you have certain feelings, you have certain symptoms, then make an appointment and go see your doctor if you're able to go in and get into a medical facility and see an attending physician. Notice that verses 4, if the bright spot be white in the skin of his flesh, and in sight be not deeper than the skin, and the hair thereof be not turned white, then the priest shall shut him up that hath the plague 7 days. So notice in verses 4, his symptoms are quite different from the one that is found in verses 3. But nonetheless, he's infected. And so what does the priest do? He doesn't tell him, well, go home, enjoy yourself, go to the beach, go to the local picnic, whatever, go back to work, you're fine, buddy. You may have different symptoms than the person in verses 3, but you just go out there in the street and you shake hands with all the people, you kiss as many babies as you can kiss. You don't find that. What do you find? The priest tells him what? You're quarantined. You're quarantined. You are basically shut up. Now, before I close out this hour, look at 1 Kings chapter 15. Let's see how this was applied elsewhere. 1 Kings chapter 15. We have one of the kings of Judah. Notice 1 Kings 15:5. No, it was that 2 Kings. Oh boy. Look at 2 Chronicles 26. 2 Chronicles 26. I know there's a passage there in Kings. 2 Chronicles 26:21. King Uzziah. 2 Chronicles chapter 26:21. Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death, and this was a disease that was brought upon him by God when Uzziah lifted himself up and went into the temple and tried to function as a priest, which was out of his realm, out of his calling, out of his domain, and dwelt, notice, in a several house, being a what? A leper. For he was cut off from the house of the Lord. So notice, he was quarantined. They put this king in a separate dwelling place, and he was barred from going back to the temple. Jotham, his son, was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. Now the rest of the acts of Uzziah, first and last, did Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, write. Now notice how they buried him. So Uzziah slept with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the field of the burial, which belonged to the kings, for they said, he is a leper, and Jotham his son reigned in his stead. So here we see an example of one of the kings of Judah that was placed in several house, or a house of quarantine, a house that was separated from the general populace. And therefore his son came into play and was like a co-regent until his father would pass away. So that's our first hour here this morning. We looked at the fact that this thing that we call leprosy, that's referred to in the Bible, in the Old and New Testament, referred to a wide range of different type of microbacteria illnesses that affected the skin. And it led to great disfiguration. It led to the absence of pain, which in turn led to parts of the body becoming infectious or gangrenous, and in some instances needed to be amputated to save the rest of the body. We also saw that spiritually speaking, in the eyes of God Almighty, if we are outside of Christ, if we are still in Adam, if we live our lives as if God is dead and the Bible and the church is so irrelevant and so outmoded and so outdated, in the eyes of God, we are then spiritually unclean. We are a spiritual leper. And we also found out here so far, as we have broken ground in Leviticus 13, that the Levitical priest functioned as a doctor in the Old Testament time period. They were the ones that the person with the symptoms had to go to, and then to follow this procedure that God laid down in the book of Leviticus, which Moses eventually orally gave and then written it down for a final record. Well, may God bless this first installment. We have more to come in the next hour. Thank you.